We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And this Lawrence hour, Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Can you dig it?
Harvey told me exactly what to do, and I still screwed it up.
Can you dig it?
Jeez! This hour is also being brought to you by the law offices of Jeffrey M. Leving. Thank you so much for hanging out. There's a really mad Ohio State fan texting in. Sir, first of all, this is a Wendy's. Secondly, I'm having a little fun with you. Clearly, Ohio State is one of the best programs in the country. I'm just saying that my Ohio State fan friends, except for Shakia Taylor, shout out to Shake, are still talking mess about the SEC after getting waxed in the national championship game.
Roll damn tide, baby.
That's all. I have friends who are Ohio State fans that root against the SEC. What sense does that make? I have a neighbor who has a big Ohio State O on the back of his garage, and I was so tempted to go buy a rubber duck and put it in the O. So just relax, sir. For goodness sakes, you're exactly the reason. You're the reason that I had to put your loss to Oregon on blast. And when Alabama loses, I'm going to take heat, and I'm ready for it. But we're not going to lose, especially to New Mexico State. That's scheduling. Whew, tasty. I mean, we did run over a top 25 team, though. Top 15, right, Miami? Miami's like, oh, we got De'Aaron King playing at 60%. Good luck. Just calm yourself.
I don't know why Ohio State would have people like Oregon come into Ohio Stadium.
Hey, man, I like it. I like it. And it was good for the Pac-12. The Pac-12 been out here getting beat up and punked for weeks, and they were like, hey, that's enough. We got at least one team and maybe two, and like, we're not here for this.
Like, Ohio State is like Notre Dame. Schedule your weak sisters of the poor and go through your regular schedule. If you're undefeated, you'll be in the playoff. That's
Herbie,
it.
Why did Toledo mess the end of the game up? Did you watch the – I had no idea that it was on Peacock. And then I figured out how to watch it on Peacock, and it looked really good, like off the stream with the TV. It looked great. Toledo could have knelt on the ball and kicked the field goal to win it. They got the touchdown, and it's hard for me to tell a guy to not score a touchdown, but they left too much time, and then Notre Dame did the Notre Dame thing. And they went down and scored and won the game. Don't worry, when they lose, we'll be celebrating their loss too. I'll be celebrating that loss the way that Herbie was celebrating Northwestern getting beat by Michigan State.
Nothing better. My team is bad. Yeah. Go ahead. Pile on Illinois. I've lived this life forever. Calm down. When they're good, you won't hear the end of it.
They were good for like a week.
Man, we were running the Big Ten.
Sure were.
First place.
And now you might end up 1-3.
I think we're still tied for the lead in the Big Ten West. We're not good.
At some point, we should like schedule in like an actual segment where we do college football. It's amazing like how quick. I'm going to talk about this a little bit later on the show, but that's not why you called. I promised you a Devin Hester interview. And on Friday, we tried. We had a time schedule. There was something going on with our phone lines. So Devin didn't get to Herbie until the show was over. So I said to Herbie, "It's like I can go record it at home because we had Cubs game going on here. So there was no place for me to go record an interview with Devin." The points bet people got back to me because he was doing an event out at Hawthorne. And they got back to me and they're like, "Hey, can we do it?" Great. We got on a Zoom together and it was fantastic. Herbie and I put a little bit of production inside of this interview too to make it even more fun. But I got a chance to talk with the GOAT, Devin Hester. And we started things off by him explaining to me what his case is for being a Hall of Famer.
When it comes to me, of course, yes, I was a kickoff and punt return. But at the end of the day, what player that stands out other than the player that's always making the big plays, right? Always making the touchdowns, always making the big hits, always getting interceptions. Those are the players that's always, when you look at the Hall of Fame, they all have the same thing in common. So in my defense, I believe I should be in the Hall of Fame just on what I brought to this game. Right? What I did in the National Football League has never been done before. Never been done before. All these Hall of Fame that made it had done something that's never been done before, whether the most receiving yards, the most rushing touchdowns, right? The most sacks, the most tackles. Now, in my situation, the most kickoff and punt returns that's ever been done in the NFL. Not in 1 year, not in 2 years. You know what I mean? Like, when you look at my stats and my position, it's among everybody. Like, it's not even close. So I think this league, the NFL, the Hall of Fame, has been waiting for a guy in this position that plays the return game that really, really, really solidified kickoff and punt return. Now you have guys, after my first year getting drafted, guys willing to take their first 4 or 5 picks in the draft if they can find a guy like me.
It's the right? truth.
You know what I mean? So when you say a game changer, I'm pretty sure my name started ringing bells. And that's why I feel like I should have been in the Hall of Fame.
I remember weeks leading up to games, we get a chance to talk with the opposing coach each week as you guys were preparing. And you were always the first thing that they talked about, that it was going to be, okay, what are we going to do about Devin Hester? Are we going to kick the ball to him? Are we going to try to get guys that can kick it out of the back of the end zone? Are we going to punt to him? Are we going to try to pin him on the sidelines? Did you know that type of preparation, did Dave Tobe like let you know that you were putting that much stress on other coaches that they were worried about what you were going to do?
Most definitely. You know, it was so obvious that in Chicago, we started making commercials about it. Well, we would have guys on a commercial in the Michigan lake catching balls in the lake, right? So we knew that the game plan was the only way for us to beat the Chicago Bears if we do not keep the ball to Devin. So let's see which one of our punters can keep the ball the furthest in the stands. Whoever can keep the ball the best in the stands, you're going to start this week. So I would have punters come up to me before the game, like, "You're killing my stats. You're killing my opportunity for me to make the Pro Bowl this year because now I got to kick 15, 20-yard punts in the stands." That's the type of fear that I put on the opponents, the punter, as well as the National Football League. That's why they got the Devin Hester rule now.
I always loved it when you would give me a couple of minutes here or there in the locker room and talk to me about what it's like to be a returner. And I remember once you told me that it doesn't matter what the scheme is. Like, you were looking at that your vision was so good. You didn't say this. This is me saying you said that. Your vision was so good that you were just looking at the colors.
Right.
Was that the truth?
That was most definitely the truth. Because you got to think about it. At return, like, your vision is really, really what makes you good. Right? When I say vision, I'm talking about seeing blocks before they even happen. Right? People not even looking that far down. Right? When it comes to return. Like, I felt I was blessed with the vision to see a block form before it even happened. Then on from that point on is vision of the color. Like, you don't have that much time to read numbers and players and this guy, that guy. It's always in the half a split second. So my strength was colors. I knew what color we was wearing. And I knew at the end of the day, wherever the least amount of colors are the opposite of me is where I need to go. So we had skins of right returns and left returns, but sometimes I went out my own way to get in the end zone by going the opposite way, because I knew half of the time, the minute I take my first 2-3 steps one direction, half of those guys out there wasn't even going to look at me. They're going to take their head and their eyes straight to where I'm going. So sometimes when I was cutting back, I was looking at the guys going the opposite way, but they didn't even see me because they knew if I didn't get here in this certain amount of time, I wasn't going to get to the plate. So when it comes down to vision, like, you have to have the vision out there to do those things that I did my time in the NFL.
Super Bowl week, I went to go cover the Colts for the week before the game. And every day we talked to Tony Dungy. And Tony Dungy said, we're not kicking to Devin. Like, he just, every time we ask him, we're not kicking to Devin. We know how dangerous he is. I guess the night before the Super Bowl, he read a Bible verse that told him to not be afraid. And that's part of the reason that he decided that he was going to kick to you. And as soon as I saw that you would field the ball, I just said, oh, no, Devin got him.
To piggyback off what you just said, we wasn't 100% sure that they was going to kick the ball to us. And so we had a return set up, right, preparing for in case they did it. Because like you say, all week it's been I'm kicking to Devin, then the next day I'm not kicking to him, and then the next day we kick it to him, then the next day we're not. So we, in our mind, we say, you know what, we're going to go ahead and prepare like they're going to kick it to us. And if they don't kick it to us, then, oh, well. The moment Coach Day said, this is the return we're going with. Let's prepare for it. Let's get ready just in case they do. The moment he kicked the ball out, like, oh, my God, I'm finna get me an opportunity. And I knew whatever I did on that kickoff return, I knew it was going to be a big play. I didn't know 100% that it was going to be a touchdown. But I knew it was going to be a big play. And I knew if I gassed him for a nice chunk of yard that I would never see the ball again that game.
Vinatieri on the approach platform, popping here in Miami. It sails to the far side around the 8-yard line to Hester. Under it and to the middle with the 15 to the 20. Breaks free of the 25 to the 30 to the outside. 40, midfield, 40, 30 of the Colts, 20, 15, Hester 5.
Happened, he kicked the ball right where I was able to return it, man. And you know, just finding the hole that I found was this small, but I was able to turn my body a crazy way to get through there.
So when you watching yourself on the Jumbotron, what were you thinking?
I was like, because I couldn't see anybody. So when you watch it, if guys ever was in that position where you're looking at yourself on the Jumbotron and you don't see nobody by you, and your mind's like, oh, my Lord, offense score a touchdown. Offense score. You watch a little giant with a kid running ball. He's like, offense score a touchdown. Offense score a touchdown. And he ran into the goalpost.
Yes. That's how you felt.
That's what I was thinking.
The history of the NFL, the history of the Super Bowl, can't be written without your return in the Super Bowl. Like, it's an iconic moment, man. And I think that it helps to make your case for the Hall of Fame.
Right, most definitely, man. Like I, whenever you do something in an NFL, right, that's never been done before, it stands out, right? So if a guy rushed for 350 yards, right, it's going to stand out. If a quarterback throws for 750 yards, it's never been done before. When that quarterback does that, the minute that quarterback walks off the field, he's walking off without a jersey, without cleats on, because the NFL and the commissioner are snatching it on right now before he even gets in the locker room. The minute that I cross that end zone, stuff will get taken away from me, because it's stuff that's things that never been done before, and it stands out. So in that situation, for that to happen and it being the first time in NFL history, it has to go down in history.
I loved covering you. You're one of my favorite dudes to cover. I got to ask you one more thing. I can't let you go without asking you this. When Crank That plays at Soldier Field.
Yeah.
I see you smiling right now. When Crank That, with Crank at Soldier Field, what was that atmosphere like?
Man, it was, you know, it was something that grew on me. It was kind of weird at first, but it was a symbol of our special team as a unit that the fans knew, right? You can be texting, you can be on the phone, you can be eating your hot dog, going to the bathroom. But when you heard that song, come on.
Soldier Boy, tell
as a guy, yeah, you was running out the bathroom with your zipper still down.
Because you wanted to see what Devin was about to do.
Because you knew. Oh, hell, stop down the field. Crank that song. Now I mean you. Crank that
song. Now I mean you. Crank that song. Now I mean you. Shout out to PointsBet for bringing us Devin Hester. I thought Devin was great. Herbie, I had this like idea of making it a little bit like a TV featurey type interview. And so I threw some stuff in there and then Herbie perfected it. That's what a great EP does. That was fantastic, man. We had such a good time. And Devin's just a good dude, man. And when he was in the locker room, I was trying to tell people, like, he came in as this shy kid. And I love what he's turned into. In there, you hear, like, the kids are – he's picking the kids up from school. Like, that's what you heard, like, them jumping into the back seat. And I'm glad that he's out here, like, advocating for himself to be a Hall of Famer because he's right. It's a museum of the best of the best. Why shouldn't the best punt and kick returner ever be in there? I think he's got as legitimate of an argument as anybody who has ever made an argument to be in the Hall of Fame.
And with the rules that they've made subsequently after he played, he'll be not passed up by anybody ever unless they go back to the regular rules.
Can I just tell you, just this radio geeky thing for me inside there, Jeff Joniak's call of that kickoff return for touchdown Super Bowl is magnificent. It's even like the little thing, 40 midfield, 40. It's such a great call by Joniak on that play. And as someone who I had just made it in, because I had done our pregame show from the convention center, I was literally the last person to leave the convention center in Miami. I got on the media bus. I walked in and got to my seat just in time to see that. And in Miami, I would say it was at least 10 to 1, maybe 12 to 1 Bears fans to Colts fans that were in the stands that day. And when Devin scored, the place went absolutely up for grabs. Shout out to 23 for giving me a few minutes. I hope you enjoyed that. Back after this on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
I didn't update the people. I probably should have. We lost the championship softball game. But it was a classic, man. It really was a – like, now that I'm a few hours removed from it, because I was in a bad mood, you know what put me in a better mood? Spiegel's kid, Ruben. We were just, like, hanging out. It put me in a better mood. But we lost, but it was great. Thanks to everyone at the 16-inch Hall of Fame out there in Forest Park. They made everything really nice. It was super fun to be out there. The conditions were perfect. We lost 6-5 in 11 innings. We played 4 extra innings without runs being scored until the 11th. And we took the lead, and then we gave it back, and we lost to the Reader. Congratulations to the Reader.
They are the team to beat in the Media Softball League. They've won 4 out of the last 5. I think we learned some stuff about ourselves. Very excited about next year. Hopefully in being in shape. I also wish that Lynn would follow me on Instagram because he tried to pinch run for me last night and I literally ran 3 miles Sunday morning. It was weird. He was working off some old information, like when I got hurt 2.5 months ago. Totally fine now. Here's my thing. You going to pinch run for me after having me play Rover? I'm the defender who's moving the most. Anyway, shout out to Shane.
So are you saying that Lynn lost the championship game for you guys last night?
No, I'm saying I lost the championship game last night.
Yeah, I've heard Bramer's a bad manager.
Runners in scoring position last night, I was atrocious. I told Shane, I was like, I've lost this game twice. Twice. Shane was the best player on the field yesterday.
It's a broken finger, too.
Yeah. Him and the shortstop from the Reader, that guy was amazing. But Shane was the best player on the field. It wasn't close, except for the guy from the Reader. I was thinking about the Bears game this weekend against the Bengals. And as the week goes on, we'll get into some of the bigger issues here with people booing Andy Dalton immediately. That's the weird thing that happened on Sunday. If there was any chance. Because in my mind, Bears fans look like this. If you're watching me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Kyle670thescore. Bears fans look like this with Andy Dalton. Arms folded, standing, looking disapprovingly. But he just kind of looked like this, waiting for him to make a mistake. That was going into Sunday. Now, I feel like Bears fans are just like, the minute he does anything, they might boo him when he walks onto the field. And I'm not sure that he's earned that level of scorn from his play on Sunday. But what Sunday did was it allowed some confirmation bias. It allowed everyone to be like, this is exactly what I thought Andy Dalton was going to be. And it is exactly what he was. Meanwhile, they better get the defense fixed, yo. And some of that is just effort. Some of it is just effort. I really think that Eddie Jackson is a good to great player. And it's hard for me to just go, well, he was, because now what it looks like after watching him the last 2 seasons, he looks like a product of incredible pass rush. That him being an all-pro in 2018 looks like it should be shared with Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks. He has talked a good game about wanting to be a better tackler. He made an impassioned plea last week discussing it. And then you saw him play the, I don't know if I'm going to get my face in there and make a tackle. And when you have the lapse of judgment, too, to not touch the guy who's down on the ground, that's something that you would expect from a rookie in their first game. Like a guy playing college ball and be like, bleep, it's not college ball. And even in college, you see guys who think they might have a chance of playing in the NFL make sure they touch a ball carrier when he's down. And you had your two veteran safeties who you heard me last week. I think that the safety position is actually one of the deeper positions on this Bears squad. But what are you supposed to do when a strength of your team doesn't play like a strength of your team? I wonder what their full evaluation is of not just the Rams game, but if they have to adjust what they are like what their identity is on the fly after watching the Rams game. If they have to be like, well, we think that we're, this is what I imagine. This is not what the Bears have said. This is what I imagine when I look at how they have built their roster. I think that they're going, our defense is aging but not old. We still have great players on defense that might be on the top of the hill going down, and we have a middle linebacker who is one of the best in the league. If we can play close games and maybe win the takeaway battle, we should be able to win. That would make sense, right, with the game plan offensively that the Bears rolled out. But when you have so many collapses happen on defense where you are embarrassed by Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp, and don't get it twisted, that's exactly what happened to the and strangely enough, the Rams offense didn't play as well as it could. But what they hit on were big plays, big busts. And when the Bears gave them the ball back, they hit on big plays. You can't have a guy's open by 11 yards. I said this yesterday, and it still boggles my mind. On pass plays over the last 3 years in the NFL, on pass plays that have been converted 40 yards or more, Cooper Kupp's distance from the closest Bears defender is the most in the last 3 years. Think about that. In that time, there's been almost 800 games played total. And that was the largest amount of space between an open receiver and a defender. If you go back and watch it, the Bears players are barely in the frame when Cooper Kupp catches the ball. When do we do our film breakdown with Durkin? Tomorrow or Thursday?
I'm asking him for tomorrow and see if he can do it then, and usually it's Thursday, though.
Oh, my geez. Because those two big plays where guys are getting beat, and Big Ant discussed it a little bit yesterday, saying maybe you were working off the information that routes looked a certain way because Jared Goff was the quarterback, and he's not Matthew Stafford, and he can't make throws like Matthew Stafford. Crazy stats all game, including Matthew Stafford off of play action, where you saw a lot of biting up. Bears linebackers and Bears DBs did 8 for 8 for 156 yards and 2 touchdowns off of play action. Bad stuff. So I wonder if the examination in Hallis has to do with maybe we're different than what we thought they were. Now, I don't know if they have to take drastic measures in week one. It is still week one. There's a lot of time. But if the defense looks anything like that on Sunday against the Bengals, and it could, they might have to recalibrate everything that they thought about the 2021 season. And I wonder if what Justin Fields was able to do comparatively to what the offense looked like being run by Andy Dalton has them going, we might have gotten this wrong. But one of the biggest problems with Matt Nagy, and I talked about it in the first hour of the show, he doesn't seem quick to admit that he got something wrong and then change it and then stay with that change. And that's what concerns me. Back after this on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
The White Sox are back in action tonight over on the South Side. They're going to take on Joe Madden's Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. They're like scuffling around 500. What's weird is that for the next 3 weeks, we're going to watch White Sox games and we're not going to learn anything. We think. The only thing I guess that matters while we're watching White Sox games is our guys healthy, and a couple of them come back tonight. Tim Anderson, who clearly makes a difference in the way that the White Sox play, and Lucas Giolito in 2018. Anyway, in watching games now, knowing that they're going to win the division, knowing that they're going to the playoffs, the only question is what we're watching real, or does it matter, or does it not matter at all? This is a team that's barely over 500 since the All-Star break, but we kind of know that they've taken their foot off the pedal for good reason. The goal being everyone being healthy by the time that they get to October. And quite honestly, that's been a struggle. Guys have gone on and off the IL. Carlos Rodon, is he have velocity? Is he going to be able to go deep in playoff games? Is he costing himself millions of dollars? All of this stuff. I'll sit down tonight. I'll click on the game. And I'll watch knowing that it has no bearing on almost anything. And that's kind of frustrating, but also kind of cool because they're in first place by that much. By the way, shout out to the White Sox for letting Jonathan Hood do color commentary on Friday night with Connor McKnight. That was a dope moment for Hood. I know he enjoyed it. I listened. He was great. Talk with Parkins and Spiegel next here on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.